Ladies and gentlemen, there have been some explosive developments around the food situation and the engineered food shortages that we can expect in the first half of 2021 at this point. It looks like the timeline is materializing, and that's because it's not just the weather situation and the drought in South America that is informing the soybean shortage and the global protein shortage that results. But now we see major players, countries, multinational companies taking steps that drastically aggravate that shortage and will cause this to have amazing effects. It's just an explosive situation here, and we need to talk about that. Before I do, I just want to sort of step back and say all of this is playing out against the backdrop, of course, of last year's warning from the World Economic Forum that we would be soon experiencing a second crisis after coronavirus, one which was much more impactful and severe, would take down the power grid of entire countries for a period of time. That has started to happen now in the wake of the SolarWinds cyber pandemic hack nonsense, with Mitt Romney even giving more credence, more weight to the idea that our power grid could go down. Quote, they potentially now have the capacity to cripple us by taking down our power grid. So even more predictive programming or warnings or whatever you want to call it going on about our infrastructure being taken out. And now with the trajectory we're seeing with the food supply, it looks like we'll be having just a triple whammy with that happening, with the food shortages happening. And of course, this is all on top of whatever political time bomb is about to go off here in the US. So all of these things in concert are happening to take this country to its knees and to bring people to a breaking point so that they will accept whatever part of the Great Reset agenda and, of course, the great transformation of food, eating insect protein, whatever it is. When you run out of food, suddenly you are much more likely to accept these kinds of things being literally shoved down your throat. So let's talk about that. I'm Christian, and this is the Ice Age Farmer broadcast. And the day before New Year's Eve, Argentina took the step of limiting their corn exports to the rest of the world. Now, this caused the grain markets to rally. In fact, corn, soybeans, and wheat all jumped to six-year highs that day. This was a food prices rising through the roof rapidly situation. And again, when you know that Argentina is the world's top supplier of soy meal livestock feed used to grow out animals around the world, then you start to understand that this isn't just an attack on soybeans, that this is actually a vector to take out animal agriculture around the world. You take out what they eat. That's the easiest way to kill off the animals, is to take away their food, which in turn, of course, takes away what we eat. In fact, if you're a vegan, this should still bother you, because if all the meat is gone, all those people that eat that usually are going to turn around and come for your protein now. This is a very dangerous situation, and we should all be concerned about what's going on here. It's not just now, though, due to the weather. As I said, there are now multinational companies and governments that are taking actions that further aggravate this, but it did start with the drought situation in South America. Quote, fields that have yet to be planted with soy in central and southern parts of the farm belt may not even get planted due to the lack of moisture if we don't get rain in the near future. And of course, Sean Hackett did this analysis. It's called an analog seasons analysis, looking at previous seasons that had similar conditions. In this case, looking back both at other seasons where La Nina was in effect, which tends to mean that they experience dry conditions like they are right now, and also at other years where they were in a solar minimum, as we are now, which also tends to lead to dry conditions. So when you take these two things together, La Nina and a solar minimum, then, as you might expect, you can reasonably expect to have pretty dry conditions going on for January, February, and March. And so it's very likely that we do see that materialize, where parts of Argentina don't even get their beans in the ground. So what does that mean? Well, given that we're already running at pretty historically low stocks to use ratios, in other words, we're using a lot more beans than we have right now in terms of soybeans, And you can tell because of the sentiment of traders changing rapidly in the last few weeks here. Just a couple examples of how traders are reacting to the situation on Twitter. Hello, do you have any beans to soybean meal to sell me? Ha ha ha, no, not a chance in hell. What about corn? Can we please have some corn? Farmers, come and take it. Molan labe. So you can see that the traders are intimating that there's a real shortage kind of a situation boiling up right now. Come and take it might not be the best thing to say if you're a farmer, because they might actually do that. It started, in fact, in Argentina. Here's one example of how things are happening that aggravate the entire situation. Vandals, nighttime raiders, are running around destroying hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of soy beans in Argentina right now. From Bloomberg, 200 feet long, several feet high, and packed tight with soybeans, the silo bags that dot the Argentine pampas run about 100 grand right now at November's prices. It's much more now. And when vandals began sneaking onto farms in the dead of the night and cutting open those bags so that moisture could get in and ruin the crop, farmers really started paying attention. In fact, according to Bloomberg, it has happened to over 150 of these bags that are worth $100,000 each in November. If you do the math, you can figure out we're talking about millions of bushels of soybeans that have been destroyed here. Now, what's the motivation? Well, theories abound, but the most popular of them is that these attacks are carried out by pro-government zealots to scare farmers into exporting their soybeans. So whereas farmers will usually see prices are rising and they'll hold on to their crop, maybe I can wait a little bit for even higher prices and then I'll make even more money. But right now, in theory, the government is saying, no, please don't do that. And they're sending out vandals to force the farmers out of fear to get rid of their beans while they still have them before someone cuts open their bags and ruins it. So this is a real sign that the government is in a bad situation here, and it's a very real possibility that, in fact, it just turns into outright commandeering, taking supplies from farmers off the farms, taking the means of production next. You can see the route this is on here is not a good one. But and that's why China has already started securing next year's crop from the U.S., before it's even in the ground. This is not something that happens in a normal situation for China to go out, for anyone to go out and buy next year's crop. Making this even worse is, in the name of wokeness, right, in the name of global warming and saving the planet, this fact that a large set of multinational feed companies has all at the same time said, we're going to stop buying beans from parts of Brazil, who, of course, is the number one producer of soybeans in the world. So when they say, you see ADM, Bunge, Cargill, all of these companies are saying, we don't want to buy beans from the Cerrado region of Brazil anymore. And it turns out that Cerrado is responsible for growing about 60% of the Brazilian soybean crop. So this is a stunning step to just completely cut the world off from the bulk of the soybeans from the number one producer. Again, companies and countries are taking steps to make sure that we all feel a food shortage right now. Here's another example. So severe has this situation been that already big feed companies in the United States have started hoarding supplies of soybeans due to the fierce competition for the main ingredient. Some even turned to floating soybeans on river barges just to keep them from being exported to China, who's sucking up everything they can get. So this is a crazy thing to see big feed companies literally just renting barges and filling them up with soybeans and floating them out there on the river so that they can continue to operate. In fact, we read down here, it's really expensive for us to do this, but we're going to do whatever we can just to get through on a week-to-week basis. This is how tight the supply is right now. We are running really thin. And if we cut off more than half of Brazil's soybean crops and Argentina is in a drought, I mean, this is game over for the way things have been running. and it's going to manifest in very real ways that we can all directly experience, unfortunately. So things are happening, again, that are just barely holding this whole ship together, but that are, if you look at it, giving us a very clear insight into where we're headed in the near future. And where is that? Well, we don't have to speculate, because there are smaller markets like Nigeria, who is already ahead of us in this. This is the canary in the coal mine for how this plays out. In Nigeria, due to an inability to access fertilizers, due to the COVID lockdowns, and due to the drought there as well, they are having a terrible soybean season. And so, as a result, quote, any shortage in soybeans would have a disastrous impact on the prices of animal feed, and particularly for the poultry industry. If a bag is already costing $16,000 now, then we're in trouble when the off-season comes in the months ahead. The country, quote, must brace for the difficult days ahead. And that's exactly what I'm suggesting we all must do right now. This is also from Nigeria. We read here, quote, poultry feeds have already increased more than 100%. That means it's doubled. So if you're a poultry farmer, and you're just trying to feed your birds, suddenly your expenses have doubled, which means even if you can get food still, it's so expensive now that you might have to cut you have to cull part of your flock just to stay profitable. I mean, there's no good outcome here. Quote, there are also unconscionable capitalist grain merchants and saboteurs who are alleged to be hoarding the small available products, just like the U.S. feed companies are on their river barges right now. So you see, this is the same situation, just playing out a little bit faster in small markets. Another example, another canary in the coal mine, is Trinidad and Tobago, where it's not just that feed prices have risen, it's that it's gone. Livestock farmers facing a feed shortage, December 2020. Down here we read, all of these feed shops are empty. Farmers have no feed to feed their animals. They were going and asking for their daily rations, and they couldn't get any food. It's clear to see what happens at that point. You don't have feed for your animals? Well, you're either going to let them starve to death, or you'll do the humane thing and kill off your animals to keep them from suffering and starving. Either way, these are operations, poultry farms that are going out of business for good. And these are animals who were feeding people who are not there going forward. These are meaningful damages to the food supply of the world. But what does it all mean? It means that you and I must accelerate our efforts to stand up our protein production and our food growing for our own families and for our communities. If there was insufficient motivation before, if you were somehow uninspired previously to start growing your own food, now there's no option. Now we are forced to go to what will be a better model. It won't be toxic food coming out of these systems from corporate, overlords. It'll be healthy food grown in regenerative ways. But the time, ladies and gentlemen, is now to start building your rabbit colonies, to start building up your own flocks of chickens so you can get egg production ramped up again, so you can feed your family in the days ahead, because food will absolutely be used as a point of leverage to ensure that you acquiesce to whatever aspects of their agendas they're wanting to push down your throat, quite literally. In fact, I just put up a video on BitChute only. So if you're only watching the Ice Age Farmer broadcast on YouTube, you're now missing out, because it had to do with injectables, which are less, it's frowned upon to discuss some of these topics here. I'll just keep this conversation about food today, but be sure to go to bitchute.com/iceagefarmer or directly to iceagefarmer.com to make sure that you're getting all the information I'm putting out, because there's some of it that just, it's not going to cut it on YouTube anymore. And plus, this gives us a good reason to get away from this platform. So this is also why it troubles me so much to see the UK banning outdoor flocks, because the factory farming poultry industry in the UK already accounts for 95% of their production. They've already basically taken over the game there. They've already won. But that remaining 5%, now they're using bird flu and migratory birds dropping it onto your backyard chickens as the excuse to shut down that last 5%. And this is a huge problem, because if they first shut down the healthy ways to grow food, then what they will do is turn around and say, all right, well, now that we've done that, turns out these factory farms are just as bad as we all know they are. They're terrible. I'd love to shut them down, but we need to move back to the healthy ways of growing food first. And they're shutting that down right now. You can see the script, the agenda at play. First, kill off the healthy flocks, then point at the sick indoor factory farms and say these are nasty. There are already bills in the U.S. Congress to end factory farming by 2040. So it's a time series here of events that will be used to force people onto the insect proteins and everything that the UN and the WEF have already broadcast they want us on, the Rockefeller Foundation. All these agendas have been made public and are very clear about where they want to see us going. And this isn't doom and gloom. It all serves to inform both the importance and the urgency of, and how we have to go about it, of us standing up our own regenerative, decentralized food growing systems. The greater food reset is what we must do. But if we just start growing food and then they make it illegal, then we've lost that battle. So we have to make sure we have a holistic understanding of all this stuff they're doing, making it illegal to farm your own chickens in your backyard, all of this nonsense. If we don't take it all into account, then our own solutions will be insufficient. It's going to take all of us, the lawyers, the vets, the poultry farmers, the ranchers, gardeners, web developers, to make sure that you can find food that's grown locally. Everybody. It's counter-economic activity needs to explode now, to avoid falling into the pitfalls they have beset upon us. So ladies and gentlemen, let's leave it there. That's a heck of a look at what's coming our way here in 2021. Things are not going back to normal now that 2020 is over. In fact, it's going to ratchet up even more. And so please help me get the word out about that, so as many of us as possible can be prepared and start building solutions. You can find this report and all my reports on iceagefarmer.com. If you value this broadcast and the information I bring, you can help me keep it running. There's a few ways of doing that at iceagefarmer.com/support. And again, get off YouTube. If you don't like bitshoot.com/iceagefarmer, you can also check out odyssey.com/@iceagefarmer, or always directly on my own server, at iceagefarmer.com. Thanks for watching. Thanks for spreading the word. Let's go build great things and grow abundant amounts of nutritive food regeneratively. Be well, folks.